Welcome to the Waffle Shop Podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast to get you waffling about your mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks the journey. So join me each week as I open up shop and have a waffle. Welcome to the Waffle Shop Podcast. Today, I'm joined by an incredible singer-songwriter, the legend that is Kevin Rudolph. Welcome to the Waffle Shop.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm excited about this.
See, I have to explain, because I feel like when I get like American guests on the show, I have to really over explain that there's not actually any food involved when it comes to like the waffles. Obviously in the UK, it's because we have like, you'll probably find out very soon that I talk a lot, but I tend to waffle on.
Is a waffle, it's like a tea and biscuit type of afternoon tea type thing, or a...
Kind of. I feel like over there you have them with like maple syrup and like bacon and stuff. Yeah. We had Call in the gang on, Robert Call, and he was so disappointed. I must have had to explain it like 3-4 times.
Really?
And there was no waffles involved. I mean, he was on the other side of the world, but
yeah. You could send a waffle in advance, and then just, you know, I'll eat it we'll eat at the same time.
Where have you been for the past 2 years? That is a brilliant idea. I could have done, but...
You know what? That'd actually be great for it because, and then they'd have like a souvenir with like a special box, and they'd have like some souvenir of being on it. And I'm sure you can find a local waffle shop for a delivery in every town where your guests are.
Do you know what? I thought I was coming on this for a nice, like, light-hearted chat with a legend, and now I've got a business.
This is going to be marketing tactics for you, I think.
Thank you. Thank you. This took a turn that I was not expecting, so thank you.
You got it now.
So I start each one of my shows with something called the Weekly Waffle. It's something that's kind of really annoyed me that... Once I kind of get it off my chest, it makes me feel a little bit better. I mean, it doesn't make me feel any better, but that's what I try and tell myself once I've kind of moaned about it. Mm-hmm. And what's been winding me up this week, Kevin, is the fact that when you get a notification on your phone and you kind of swipe up to get rid of it, I've got quite chunky fingers. I accidentally click on it.
And now from here.
thank you. And I accidentally open the message, and I feel like then I have to reply to the message.
Boy, everyone knows everything these days, right? It's like they know if you read it, they know if you sent something back, they know.
Yeah,
it's just too much going on.
It's like they can see me knowing the fact that I've just ignored the message. It's frustrating.
It was better back in the day with like the Blackberries and stuff, and like you were like typing everything out.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah,
I miss my old Nokia.
Yeah,
that's what I miss.
Yeah, the Nokia. Yeah,
yeah, they were great. Exactly. And the flip. Remember how cool you were when you had like a flip phone?
Oh yeah, those are great. Yeah. The Motorola Razr. That was the best. Yeah, and like and you know, people weren't. You know, you didn't have like a million text messages coming through all day, and you didn't have email on it, so you're just like. A message. I've received a message. Yes, message, I have. Everyone. I'm eating lunch right now, but I will certainly take a look at this message after I'm done eating. Now it's like, okay, hold on.
And now I'm trying to ignore them whilst I'm eating my lunch.
I know, but it means you're popular, I think, right?
You're full of compliments. I'll take that. I feel great. Is there anything like that kind of annoys you and gets on your nerves?
I mean, I try not to go there, but you know, well, a couple things. I'm kind of annoyed with that I live in Miami, and up until this pre-COVID situation, it was like real chill, and it's like kind of just, you know, everyone's floating along. It's like this, you know, there are, you know, parts of it which are partying and popular and touristy, but it generally feels pretty chill. And ever since, like, even just within last March to this March, it's gotten like, it's just crazy. It's just, it's bothering me. it's actually not a minor inconvenience. It's actually, it's bothering me because I feel like I'm like losing my special, you know,
quiet
little nook in the world, and it's getting too exposed, but we're good. It'll be, you know, I think it's not for everybody. Some people will leave, you know, it's gotten really expensive in the last 6 months.
Oh,
and,
God, don't. The gas and electric prices here in the UK at the moment, Kevin.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Honestly, ridiculous.
It has to, I think things have to level out, though. It can't just like stay like that forever, you know, or can it? I don't know. Hopefully not.
I think everyone's just making up as they go along at the moment. I mean, if you told me like 2 years ago, we'd be like kind of in lockdown, not allowed to leave the house, to now, some people are still scared to leave that. It's surreal.
I know. I'm like waiting for aliens to land, and then we just kind of like, you know, get my little fishing boat and just be out there. Like all these people, it's amazing. There was like, yeah, you have to have guns and gold and this and all the doomsday preppers and everything. And it's like, do you think like anyone's going to accept gold? Like if you're fighting, like what you need is a fishing rod. And if you're by the water, obviously, what are you going to be bartering with, like barley and like rice? Like what do you think, like if the banks got shut down, it's like, you're going to be helped by anything other than a means to get food. But what do
I could sit here and rant about this all night because it's just, it's batshit crazy. It's genuinely, and even if aliens turned up now, I don't think any of us would even bat an eyelid.
No, I'd be like, yeah, cool.
This is life now. Right. Anyway, to it. Like, I'm going to throw this out here now because, and this series is, I don't know how I've managed to pull it off, but I'm kind of having a waffle with some of my favorite people who have sang my favorite songs, because I'm a big believer in people having a kind of soundtrack to their lives. And I need to throw it out there, but Let It Rock was like the soundtrack to at least two summers of mine. So I've got so many incredible memories of like going out and like just knowing when you hear that like first start to that song, everyone's going to the dance floor. So I need to thank you for that. So even now, to be fair, even now.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. I appreciate that. That makes me feel good. You know, that's why we do this. You want to feel like you're connecting and you want to feel like you're, you know, reaching people. So that's a great compliment. Thank you for that.
You are very welcome. But I'm going to kind of go back a little bit here because I find it so interesting when I have like a music guest on the show. How did it start? Like, because I mean, I've tried to sing, it doesn't work. So was there a moment?
It's very powerful.
To be fair, I'm speaking to the right guy. I feel like you would help me out here.
These days that will help you with your singing.
You know what? I've got a new marketing career.
You could have a singing teacher, or you could get these free plugins and just do it right now.
You know what? Sack this interview off. Let's make a song. That's what we'll do.
Let's do it. We'll make a song and a waffle.
I feel like we've just got a whole brand new
theme song.
I mean, if only I knew like an incredible producer, singer, songwriter.
I'm sure we can make you sound just fine.
Amazing. But back to you. When did that start? Like, was there a song that you heard like that kind of like kickstarted like your like interest in music, or you know, did you watch like a performance? Like, how did it start for you?
Yeah, my mom was a singer, and she was like in clubs in New York and in, you know, in the 80s, 90s, and she was, you know, she was doing her thing. She had a band, and she would, you know, try being a solo artist and different styles of music. So I watched that whole process. But I think what you know, she had a, you know, a record turntable, actual real record player. And she
had so many
great 80s, so much great, you know, from like it was like Cyndi Lauper and Pat Benatar and Van Halen and Led Zeppelin and the Beatles and the Stones and Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton. It was like every, you know, everything, a lot of 80s, but also a lot of you know, classic 60s, 70s music. And I would just go through those records and listen and absorb it. And then I think at the time, you know, I think you sort of want to not do what your parents are doing. So I was like, I don't like music, you know. I was like, I don't even like, you know, and I'm like seven, you know. And, but I think by the time I was about 11 or 12, I remember I was in a guitar store with my grandfather, and it was like, he was sort of like the source of like a lot of, you know, if I wanted to, you know, I would play the piano, you know, he'd get me a piano. He was sort of the financial resource for my family in terms of just like, hey, you know, if I want something, I better go, you know, kind of like that direction a little bit. And we saw a black electric guitar, and it was just like, you know, probably a cheap, you know, whatever, generic black guitar. And I just saw it and I was like, yeah, I want that. It. And need that right now. And my vision of it was I was just going to jump around in front of the mirror. I wasn't planning on like playing it, you know. And he looks at me, he's like, look, I got you. I got your keyboard. I got your thing. You know, you have to take lessons. Like, you can only get this if you commit to lessons, all right? And so I said, okay, all right, I'll do it. I'll take lessons. And I took lessons. And then like anything else, you know, you take to it or you don't. And it's hard in the beginning because your fingers don't fit and your nails are too long. You know, I'm cutting my nails. I remember I was like, he's like, your nails are way too long. And I was like, well, I'm 11 years old. I'm not really getting like,
it's not really on the top of the priority list, is it?
Right. You know, so, yeah, so I started, but you know, after about like 4 or 5 months, I was learning songs and you got a sense of like, okay, I can do this. And I think it just, you get bit by the bug, you know, or at least I did. And like, you start, you know, watch TV, like that's all I did as a kid was watch television. Like I didn't do anything but watch television and play guitar to the television. So I was learning like the Growing Pains, like theme song.
Wow.
And I was like, I was like excited by this stuff like that. You know, I was playing along with like Family Ties and whatever. So that's what I would do. And then the radio and music, you know, MTV, you know, whatever. Yeah. And that's how I kind of taught myself along with the lessons.
That I honestly find it so interesting because I feel like everyone has like a real different path, but what are
they always like, less? They're always less cool than what they tell you.
It's just boring.
Like, yeah, just and like Hendrix just comes on stage, and you're really just like, yeah, I was watching Family Ties, and I want to learn how to play.
I'm sat there watching EastEnders, and I thought, Joe, I can play that on the side of the phone.
Right. Yeah. Those songs are very heavily impressed. People don't realize the influence those have in music, pop culture, is like TV show theme songs back in the day.
But you can hear it sometimes. Like there's a, do you know what I have? And I don't know if you have it over in America. Do you have Arthur?
Arthur the movie?
No, like the aardvark. It was like a cartoon aardvark. It had the best theme tune.
Sorry, it's a dog barking. I don't know where that the aardvark. No.
You know what? I'm going to send it you after this recording, and I guarantee it will put a smile on your face. It was an absolute banger.
All right, I
loved it.
Let's go.
Me and my friends still sing it now, and it's like we're 30. It's made that much of an impression.
All right, cool.
So with that, like to be honest, when I'm having these conversations with obviously like musicians, and there seems to be like an underlying kind of theme, like with like family when it comes to kind of like the music and the records and stuff like that. Like, was that the kind of music that was playing like when you were growing up, like the Beatles, Hendrix, like, so would you say that kind of like influenced your sound, or was it kind of, well, like, where did that sound come from?
I think, you know, influences are, you know, I think they're times when at least for myself, where I pulled from different pockets of, or genres. You know, I remember when I was like 14 and I was really into guitar, I only would listen to guitar music. So yes, of course, I was listening to like anything. If it didn't have guitar, I was like, it's not music, it doesn't have guitar, you know? But by the time I was 16, I was really into songwriting because I felt like I wanted to take a step further. I didn't want to just be a guitar player. It was like, all right, well, everyone's great at the guitar. You know, I want to be able to do more. And so I was in a phase where I was listening to maybe more of the Beatles stuff, but I was also very into like Peter Gabriel a lot, and the Police and Sting and that kind of stuff. That I think I connected with that because I never felt like I was like a sort of regular singer in the way that like I was never going to be Mariah Carey, like with the 6-octave range. And I was never going to be Sinatra, and I was never going to be, I always felt like the two people that I liked vocally the best were, it was like somewhere, I wanted to be somewhere between like Sting, Peter Gabriel, and like Johnny Lydon or Rod.
Yeah.
Depending on,
Sex Pistols.
Depending on the era of Sex Pistols.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to be like, I felt like I could, I wanted to scream, but I wanted to be like melodic and just like with a straight, pure tone like that. So that's what, that's what I was thinking about songwriting wise, and I could sing those songs, you know, they made sense to me. And U2 also very much, because like I just loved always like big cinematic like world music. And I don't mean just like world as in world, you know, like that, but I mean,
yeah,
you know, global music is the word, you
yeah.
know. I always had that vision. I wanted to make something that the world would sing. And I still feel
it's
that
quite
way.
Like anthemic. It's anthemic.
Anthemic, yeah.
Kind of like antifredo. And I think that's what I would definitely describe kind of like your songs as. Because when, like, every time, like, even today, when I was like, oh, my mate was like, what are you doing tonight? I was like, oh, I've got a recording, like, with Kevin Rudolph. And he was like, oh, my, he was like, what an anthem. So it's like those words are like being associated like
so
with
cool.
kind of like,
yeah. Well,
your,
I think
like
it all
music.
Goes back, you know, I think it goes back to that time. It was that I wanted to, I remember one time my mom used to play from the Rocky movie, the Survivor song, Eye of the Tiger. You know? And that was, it was funny though, because only looking back now, having had, you know, put out certain kinds of music and also seeing what does connect with the world. Cause I have put out a lot of different kinds of records, and sometimes I think it's such a great song and it doesn't connect, or vice versa. But
yeah,
I remember it was like the pump up songs. I always wanted to make people feel powerful. And there's, you know, there's so many love songs, and there's so many, you know, songs to cry to or break up to, or have your first kiss to, or whatever, break up to, whatever it is. But I loved the songs as a kid that made me feel tough, you know, that made
yeah.
me feel empowered and strong, because I think you need that as a young person. You need that feeling of power in your life, because the world is trying to control you a little bit,
yeah.
or make you go in a certain direction. And so a lot of times the music that you're wanting to connect with is something that makes you feel like, no, I'm this is my life and I'm in control.
Do you know what? It's really weird that you say that. And like, and I, again, I'm going to say, because I absolutely love having these kind of conversations with the people who've made this kind of music that I listen to. But there's so many playlists that I've had, like, that I listen to in the gym, that like numerous songs of yours have been a part of, because it makes me feel like, it gives me that kind of sense of like, yeah, I can do anything. So it's really weird hearing you kind of like explain it in a way that actually, I mean, I've never met you, obviously. I've only listened to your music, but now having this chat, I'm like, oh, okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah,
now I get
yeah.
it even more. It's surreal.
No, it's cool to talk about for me, because as an artist, I go in every direction. I mean, if you were here in Miami, you'd come here at like 10 a.m. and you'd be hearing me work on like, you know, who the hell, like something that you'd never think I would do. And then
yeah.
And you came back 12 hours later, I'd be working on something else. I mean, sometimes it's just like, I can't even describe what directions I go into. Actually, it's probably the thing that slows me down the most, is I'll get really excited. I'll be like, woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm doing this thing that sounds like, I don't know, you know, not Pink Moon.
What, as in Pink Floyd?
No, the song Pink Moon, Nick, not Nick Cave, British, 60s folk singer.
Oh, don't embarrass me now. Don't come on here.
No,
anyways, I should know this. I should know.
Like, it sounded like him, and I thought, okay. And then I woke up, and then like 5 hours later, I was doing something that sounds like, I don't know, it was like this, like, sounded like this little like house music calypso thing that you'd hear wow. like in a, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning in I don't know, Miami.
Yeah.
and then by like, I just love to do stuff. It's just fun. So anyway, back to what I was saying, is it helps me also to clarify talking about it, because those are the songs that I do that often really do connect, are those
yeah.
ones that are straight down the middle of that, you know, empowerment, because that's what I feel the strongest about when I do.
No, it's incredible to hear. And to that, I kind of want to like dive into that a little bit, like, because especially when it comes to music, like, it's my biggest coping mechanism, like, whether I'm like angry, sad, happy, whatever it is, like, there's a song for that. For someone who creates these kind of songs, like, when you're kind of going through it, or when you're whether you're like in a good mood, or when you're in a bad mood, or there's something heavy going on, does that kind of spark things with you? Like, is that because obviously we know, like, obviously over here we've got like the Adele, and like obviously she pours her heart out when she goes through like a breakup or something like that. Like, do you find it like on very different levels that anything like that can kind of spark a song or a melody or something?
Yeah, absolutely. I sometimes it's the opposite though. Sometimes if I'm feeling sad or it's like I'll do something really, I won't do something dark to reflect the sadness. I'll do something very pretty. Like sometimes if I'm feeling like really sad, I'm not gonna go, I'll probably just do like, and that sounds like no one, and I'm feeling like, yeah, it's all gonna be okay. Yeah. It's the other way around that I'll do something if I'm in like a,
That was brilliant. I loved it. You
you
just
know what
got
I'm saying? It's funny though,
goosebumps.
because it's like the other way around. Sometimes if like you're feeling good, you're just like, you do something like, nah. You know what I mean? It's opposites. I feel like you use the music to help whatever, to either soothe yourself or express yourself.
That is brilliant. Absolutely
But
brilliant
that's
way to
just
look at
me.
it.
That's not everybody. Some people just want to get it out.
Yeah, to be because I to be honest, I used to do that. I used to like when I was in a bad mood, I used to like put good song, like happy songs on, like, or like dance songs to kind of get me out of like kind of like the mood or anything. But then what I found was happening was those like really happy, like bouncy pop songs were then starting to remind me of like like the
It's
bad
true.
sides. So now I've kind of gone back to I'm in this kind of thing of like, well, actually, if I'm feeling sad, I'm going to lean into that emotion and just kind of get it out my system kind of thing.
I know.
So yeah, it's a real, but
Does that
everyone
work?
like,
Is that
yeah.
worth it? Is it like, does the leaning in work? That's what I always wonder about emotionally. If I feel bad long enough, will it go
I
away?
just sometimes like to sit at the window when it's raining with a sad song on, pretending I'm in the music video.
I
And
know.
we've all done it. We've all done
Of course.
it. With that kind of being said, like with the music kind of thing, obviously we talk about kind of like mental health and coping mechanisms on the show quite a lot. When things do get a little heavy for you, do you have any other kind of like coping mechanisms that aren't music that you kind of turn to kind of get you back to where you need to be?
Just mostly waffles.
I'm soundbiting that. I'm
Oh,
soundbiting that, and I'm going to use
songwriter.
that.
I felt, let's see. I think we learn how to soothe ourselves in certain ways at different ages. Like, I know things that work for me, Like, one could be, again, making something really fucking pretty. I'm thinking about just doing a whole album of that stuff because it's like I played people like, yeah, that's nice. But I'm like, no, it's great. You don't get it. It's just like, and I could do it really fast too, just like really all really pretty stuff. Like I'd be thrilled if I heard that on the radio. I'd be like, wow, the world's a good, wholesome place again.
This is what it
So sometimes
needs,
I do.
Kevin. This is what it needs right now.
Maybe it is. I don't know. I always feel, sorry, this is a little off. I'm not avoiding the question,
No,
but
you're waffling.
I will say, I think musically, movie, just culturally, I think things that are darker, more negative, more angry, more sad seem to succeed more. At least they do for me, because a couple times I've tried to really like, oh, you know what? I'm done. I'm just gonna make this song and everyone's gonna like do the kumbaya, like, clap their hands and it's great. And people are like, is that what you want to be now? And I was like, I remember I was at Universal at the time and I was like playing the song. I did a song called Here's to Us like that. And I was like, I just finally want to just be I want to do something really nice for the world. Like, not nice for the world, but you know what I'm saying? Like that kind of song. And he's like, that's great, Kevin. It's great. Is that who you are now? I was like, I'm the same fucking person. What do you mean? Was that who I am now? Like, just a song. Can't people make different things? Do I tell you to eat only Chinese food or only this or only that? I make different things. That's it, you know? But
I like that.
It wouldn't really work. Some people are like, some people say things like artists, they're like, I'm really diverse, man. And it's like, your diverseness is like one notch to the left or one notch to the right. Like, I'll really be like making something completely else, you know what I mean? Like, as in, just has nothing to do with it. But back to your question, that was, we took a little side on for
it's all right, it's the purpose of the show.
I do like, sometimes I just like turning on a microphone and just like singing into it and with an acoustic guitar like that, that makes me feel better. Sometimes I watch like foreign movies and look like French movies or Italian movies, because there's something about the another culture, another reality.
Yeah.
Also the way those movies are slowed down, they slow your brain down. So you're not watching like a movie like you're, okay, like you're in a different, it puts you in a different rhythm. So, and it'll just take me to a place and it's like, and then I'll think to myself, I could just leave it all behind and like live in, you know, the mountains of Tuscany or something. Too much. No, but
it's kind of like an escape though, isn't it? Because you are having to concentrate, whether it's like subtitles or, you know, what's going on and stuff like that. So no, I'd agree with that. Like mine's Lego. When things get a bit much, like I turn to, because there's like, I know for a fact in that next hour, all I'm going to be focusing on is on like these little bricks. Like the world starts falling apart.
But
if it works, it works.
That's great, you know? And you know, I have a 7-year-old son and playing with him can do that too. I mean, it's he goes skateboarding and like, he'll get you out of your head in a second, you know, like, especially if you have like a fun activity that, you know, to share, you do like that. Like that'll get me out of it too. You know, really, just, you know, the family love and like that also is, it can be like that. But I think it's also good to have it, you know, if you can make some art out of it too, is, you know, bonus.
That's why I keep saying this. I sound like an absolute, on any sport. I can't answer it. It's my show. I sound like a fucking parrot. Cause I'm like, I love having these conversations for that. Right? Exactly. But for that reason, because this whole podcast wouldn't have existed if I hadn't gone through like a real horrible, painful thing. So I love kind of having these kind of conversations with people, whether it's a really happy moment or whether it's a sad moment, have created something from that kind of like raw emotion.
Yeah.
It's I hate using this word, but it's very inspiring.
I hate to say it, but it's like, I almost can't do my best work if it's not as a reaction to something. You need something, because you have to dig so deep to do it, you know? I could make stuff all day, but there's something about when you have a pivotal event and then you're just like, nope, I'm doing this now.
Do you know what? This actually leads me very, very nicely onto what I wanted to talk to you about. And I, obviously, I've been a fan of yours from Let It Rock. Obviously, I know there was music before that, but that's when I really kind of like your voice really kind of captured me. And it was recently, I think I was doing like a playlist of like a Throwback Thursday playlist. And then I noticed that one of your songs, recent songs, was obviously Live Your Life. And I heard it and straight away I was like, yeah, I needed to hear that, because there are so many lyrics in that song that are very much like, no one's going to do this for you. Like, you're going to have to like, kind of like put in the work. And like, when I heard it again, and it's really weird, especially kind of the conversation we've just had about like that kind of like empowerment, like you want people to feel powerful when they listen to your songs.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I felt when I listened to that. Cause I was like, I hadn't heard your voice for a while. I was like, yes, like kind of feeling. And then it was like, yeah. Like, if you want something, you're going to have to work for it. Like, you know, there is no one kind of like you kind of you're unstoppable.
It's a great realization. You know, I think we've all had times, I think we're in this weird time in culture where it's sort of the message is like, hey, all I have to do is invest $10 in this and you're going to be a millionaire. And all you have to do is get that. And these 3 life hacks will teach you how to lose weight. And also you'll learn to play guitar in 5 minutes. And also, you're going to have $10 million in your bank account tomorrow. And then you can just sit in a yacht and get fat. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds great. Thanks a lot. Sign me up for that, you know? But that's just not how things work. And if they did work that way, it'd be hugely unsatisfying. And maybe there are people that are born into that. I'm sure there's tons of them, actually. There are. Yeah. But I think there's nothing more empowering knowing that you're just going to do it and you're going to keep doing it until it happens. And that's just what's going to happen. You know, it's not easy, but it's simple.
Do you know what, though? It's absolutely brilliant advice. And I know there's a lot of people that kind of listen to the show that they have like these key kind of like moments of like self-doubt or like, oh, I don't know. I mean, we all have it. We all have that kind of inner critic.
Today, earlier, tomorrow, yesterday, you know what I mean? We all have it. It's normal.
So like, I'm going to ask you like for a little bit of advice then, because obviously, well, for one, for anyone listening to this, you need to go and listen to obviously Live Your Life, because it will do that for you. But in your words, like, if someone is going through that kind of self-doubt kind of like cycle, like, what would you advise to like kind of get them out of it?
It's very easy and very hard. All you have to do is take action. Do the most immediate thing that you can think of to move yourself forward, and then do the next immediate thing. I'm going through it myself, you know? I was feeling like a little bit kind of like I couldn't get a footing career-wise or, you know, direction-wise, and a lot of stuff. I think I mentioned to you in the email, my dad passed away, you know, some things around that. And I began like sort of feeling like I need to do this. Like, I need to get, I don't know what was just stirring in me. Like, I got to get going. Like, and it's hard because I didn't really, a lot of self-doubt, layers of self-doubt that from, you know, years, and, you know, just because you have some hit records doesn't mean you're not like a human being, you know. Sometimes it makes it worse. Sometimes success can make it like worse. You think it's gonna like, oh, I'm good now, like I already been up the chart. It doesn't work like that at all. It actually can amplify some things. So I just felt like I gotta push through. Like, I've just got to sit here until I make something that I like, and then keep doing that and pick up the phone and get things going. And even if that's just calling a friend to say, I made this today, and then calling them tomorrow, I made this today, and then doing it the next thing. Find whatever is the next actionable step. And I believe in manifesting, visualization, affirmations. I think those are very powerful, but they have to be done with what you're doing, because your body won't believe the action you're taking, or the change, until you take the action. So I think, and I think it's just staying with it, and it's fucking hard. It is hard to do every day. It's hard to do when you don't feel like it. It's hard for me to sit down and like work on some music. And, you know, 6 months ago, I'd have been like, nah, I'm not really inspired. I'm gonna go eat lunch. Now I'm like, fuck that. I need to do this. I need to do this for myself. I need to make this happen. And many of the songs that I've done that are successful were done when I didn't feel like doing it. There's something about your brain. It's just like, it's at war with itself. But when you can do something, whether it's go to the gym to get in shape or eat right or whatever career path success, it's just doing it. Just do the next thing, and then do the next thing, and do the next thing, and don't stop. And that's it. And you will feel like stopping. So don't.
I'm going to clap. Honestly, it's incredible advice. And I think, I say it all the time on the show, but you can do anything in this life, but the one thing you can't do is give up. And I think this is exactly the message that I just took from what you've just said, because like, we can't give up. You've got to keep going.
Yeah, it's hard to get something off the ground. You know, you're not going to have anybody helping you. You're not going to have any, it's hard because it looks like nothing is happening for so long. Yeah. And then one day everything changes, but it takes a long time to get to that day. You know, sometimes, especially even with something like a podcast or a music career or a movie career or a company you're starting, it's very discouraging for a long time, but you just have to just say, I'm going to keep doing it. And that's what I'm doing. That's it.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I feel like I'm hearing this at exactly the time that I need to hear it as well. You're an absolute
I'm not legend. Gonna stop. I was probably like off the horse for a while, where I was like, I don't know. The world wants me to do this, or no one cares about me anymore. I don't care if they don't care. Yeah. It doesn't matter if they care. They didn't care before. They didn't care between. They care. They don't. Like, that's just not part of the equation.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if people care. Only matters if you're doing it. And then show the world if that means social media or just sending it to a friend. If you can get one friend who's sort of you make yourself accountable to in your journey, someone who, you know, not just anyone, not someone who wants to cut you down, yeah. Someone who's really, if you just say, hey, I did this podcast, check this out. Hey, I got this song, check this out. Hey, here's the new picture of me in my spandex, da 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 da, from the gym, whatever, check it out. Hey, this is what I ate today. I didn't eat the cake, I ate the salad. Here's a picture of my salad. That's helpful.
I feel like I'm going to like soundbite all of this, and I'm going to set you like as my alarm tone in the morning.
Put you the cake down. Alarm clock is now available for $9.99.
I feel like this podcast is as much as
I'm talking to myself too. I'm not, I'm talking to myself, you know, and it's also catching me at a time where I felt like I needed to make a shift.
Yeah.
So we may have been talking about something else 3 months ago or 6 months ago, but now this is where I'm at. So
no, I generally, I'm a big believer in like, you have these kind of conversations when you're supposed to have them. So I feel like from the, definitely the vibe that I'm getting anyway, that I feel like you need to kind of hear this kind of stuff back yourself.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, I've got like the biggest smile on my face, so it kind of leads me nicely into what I'm going to kind of say next. But I'm very fortunate that this kind of conversation's happening, and obviously like this little bit of a, like a collaboration in creative people. You have collaborated with some of the most incredible people, you know, the likes of like Lil Wayne, Timbaland, Jay Sean, and my personal favorite, Natasha Bedingfield.
Yeah, she's cool.
Huge Natasha fan. She's constantly ignoring my emails, so a little bit annoyed, but still love her. Still love her. It will happen one day.
Send her a waffle. Stop
until, yeah,
you that's send what I'm doing.
Send her a waffle every day until I get. I don't know. That sounds a bit weird. I'll cut this bit out because it makes me sound every a little
bit. She's like, get this waffle out of here.
Yeah, like, yeah, never go on his show again. But they have made some of like my absolute favorite music that I kind of dance to, that I kind of like feel to, as of yourself. But what I want to know is, obviously, you live in Miami. It's kind of like a party central. What song needs to be playing to get Kevin Rudolph on the dance floor?
You know what would always do it for me? Public service announcement, Jay-Z, allow me to read that comes on, like I'll be like yeah, whatever, like I'm
time to go,
but when that comes on, I'm like H to the OV. I used to move flakes by the OZ. I'm like, okay, let's go. That'll move me.
Joe, I think that's one of the best answers. That's one of the best answers I've been given.
Yeah, or you know what? You know what would do it for me is like a feel good, like a Kanye Good Life, Kanye West Good Life. You know, that would do it. You know,
that's one of my favorite albums.
Real feel good stuff, but yeah, stuff like that. Though not like those two in particular would do it for me.
Yeah, Joe, I think they're my favorite answers that I've been given to that question.
Yeah,
a lot of them go to like 90s, like cheesy, like dance kind of music. So that's, yeah, I'd agree with you.
I would also take, you know what I would take? I would take LL Cool J around the Way Girl, too. You know, you got me sick, oh, you love me, you know.
I think you should make a playlist. Just make a playlist, because I'm having a great time.
And I need
a playlist. This is just inspiring.
Yeah, you can manage all my affairs then.
Thank you. That's all I wanted. I'm glad. I'm glad.
For my podcast, my playlist.
Oh, love it. So on the flip side of that, What song? Well, to be fair, if there might not even be one, but can you remember the first song that kind of made you feel something, whether it was happy, sad? Like, can you remember what it was?
In life?
Yeah.
I would say easily Van Halen Jump.
Was not expecting that.
Yeah. Like the one that I remember, because when that record used to play, my mom had the, you know, the 45 of it or whatever,
yeah,
the album or whatever it was. I used to just want to jump. So that's, to me, like, that's the earliest. If a song can make you actually move like that, like get up and jump, because that's what they were saying. Like, that is, you're causing a physical reaction. So yeah, that was definitely the first song that made me move, like made an impression like that.
I like that. Anthem as well. As again, as soon as you start, as soon as you hear that first few things, you're like, yep, jump, time to jump.
Yep.
So what's coming next? Because obviously I see, like, on your Instagram and stuff like that, like you can see you jamming away in like the studio and stuff. Like, can we like expect, is there an album coming, an EP? Like, what's the plan?
I have the plan is I have a few records. Well, we call them records here in a little bit. I'm putting out a couple in the next couple weeks. Well, one in about 2 weeks, and then I'll just follow it with that. Every few weeks, I want to be putting out music. Again, you're catching me at a time, which is good. Like, where I'm like, now I'm like, let's go. You know, and I was kind of, I'll be honest with you and honest with myself. I was sort of floundering a little bit. I was sort of, I think, letting fear and ego and confusion just sort of, it's not that I wasn't making music, but I was just sort of wandering around with, I go here and no, over here is better. And so I'm putting out new music, and all I can say is it's just going to be whatever I'm doing at that time. I make no promises as far as like any particular style or anything. But I'm going to be doing it consistently enough where, I think it's going to be something cool, you know? I think we're all just like experimenting anyway. It's not some finished album that needs ready to be released.
Yeah.
I'm also sending a lot of stuff to Wayne again for his next project. A lot of beats, a lot amazing. Of hooks, things like that. And I'm just putting myself on my own work schedule to just crank every day. And this really only started, to be honest with you, about 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
So, and it's a lot of, again, stuff relating back to, you know, what we were talking about before, but I just felt the need, just something rose up in me where I was like, I've got to go. I cannot do this anymore, where I'm like, you know, trying to figure it out,
like,
do it. So I'm working every day, and I'm trying to finish something every day, every other day, and make as much music as I can. And whether that happens independently or a label or ends up being for another artist or a feature or a beat or a hook or a soundtrack, I'm just saying that's not my job anymore, because I got caught up in that kind of industry. You get caught up in that stuff. Like, well, you know, I think I could do this if it's not for this. It's like, dude, I don't care anymore. I just want to be working. I just want to be focused. I just want to make stuff that I feel is good or even good enough to put out.
And doing something that you genuinely, well, one, that you're genuinely really good at, but two, you quite clearly, like, you love doing this.
I do.
And it puts a smile on your face. So there is no reason why you shouldn't be doing it. So I'm going to be on your case now.
Please. I love that. I love that. I love the energy and the excitement. And, you know, I'll root for you. You root for me. And we'll do it. I was listening to Andre 3000 on, have you heard that on Rick Rubin's, what is it called? Broken Record, I think it's called, from Outkast. Andre 3000, and you know, I'm such a big fan of his and Outkast, and he's talking about his creative process and where he's at, and I felt so like I understood what he was saying. It's like this comfort mixed with fear, mixed with you don't know where you fit in anymore, and yeah. all that stuff going on in him. And I'm like, and he's like, I don't even know if I'm good anymore. I'm like, dude, you're fucking better than everybody. What are you talking about? Like, you could just do nothing and be better than anything that I've heard recently. But, you know, but I couldn't believe he was feeling that way. And then I was also relating to it and thinking, well, am I doing that? Am I in this sort of place?
But you know what? This is what is so beautiful about having these kind of conversations. Because, I mean, like, I'm not from like that kind of like music world at all. So the fact that someone like one of your peers is kind of talking about things that you're genuinely feeling, like, I think it just proves that regardless of where you're from in the world, whatever you do as a career, like, we're all feeling like these very human emotions.
Yeah.
It's honestly, I think it's an incredible thing. Like, it, and again, it comes down to just by having that simple conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I realized that I'm going to work through it. And that's what I'm, that's my way through. I'm going to work through. I make no promises that I'm going to have the greatest song in the world every time. It may be a lot of like left, you know, U-turns and left turns and right turns and things you wouldn't expect or would expect, but I'm just going to commit to do it and take it or leave it. And that's what I'm going to do.
Because no one's going to do it for you. I'm going to be on your case now.
And I don't care if, like, it's not about, you know, you get caught, especially when you have a hit record. You're like, well, do you like this so much? Oh, no, that's cool, but it's not as fast as this or slow as this, as good as it. And it's just like you could drive yourself crazy. So this is what I do. This is what I'm doing. And here you go. That's it.
No, I love it. Absolutely love it. You have genuinely took me by surprise today. Like, I genuinely thought, like, I knew it was going to be a good conversation, but I did not think I was going to connect with you on this, like, kind of level that I have. Like, cool. Especially from, like, an accountability point of view, like, getting out of your funk, like, kind of, you know, pushing yourself out, like, out there, regardless of, like, how you're feeling and keeping going. Like, I was supposed to have this conversation today, so thank you.
Me too. For that. Me too. I had to tell you, I had a really good feeling about this. I had a really good feeling that this was going to be a good one.
Thank you. Well, we're best friends now, so I'll be sending waffles through the post. This is going to be really cheeky, but do you reckon you could, like, play a little something to, like, round off the show?
Like what? Like
I don't know. I mean, preferably if you could do like a little something of like Let It Rock. I mean, one of my favorite songs of all time, but there is absolutely no pressure whatsoever. Just to kind of play the show out.
All right. Are we in tune enough.
You have been, that was one of the fucking highlights of this whole process.
Oh,
thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, man. It was fun.
You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Huge thank you to my brilliant guest this week, the incredible Kevin Rudolph. Make sure you check out his latest songs on Spotify. As always, hit subscribe and I'll see you next week.